I invite you to be seated and to take your Bibles or smartphones, and as you silence your smartphone or your iPad, if you would turn to Genesis 24, if you are reading the Bible electronically or find the Bible under the chair in front of you, if you would turn back again to Genesis. We are now in Genesis chapter 24, and we come now to one of the stories related to the life of Isaac and how Isaac met and fell in love with and became married to and united with his wife, Rebecca. And this really is a reality TV exploration from the book of Genesis, okay? This is The Bachelor. This is the original idea for The Bachelor. Genesis TV version. I'll be reading from Genesis selected verses from the first section and then the second section. I'll let you know where we are. We're going to start in the first verse of chapter 24. Let's listen carefully. This is God's word. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that Abraham had, put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and will take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant, or better translated, steward, said to Abraham, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter, which was the custom at the time. I'm glad we don't have that custom anymore. Then the steward took 10 of his master's camels, it's a lot of camels, and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from Abraham, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. For behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels as well. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. And before he had finished praying, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very beautiful in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please give me a little water to drink from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. And the man gazed at her in silence to learn whether or not the Lord had prospered his journey. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels. And he said, please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night. The man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forgotten his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman." Then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. What follows is a Middle Eastern negotiation about marriage, which in fact still goes on in that part of the world today. Families figuring out if the spouse is proper for their relative. And it's a wonderful story, but I'm going to skip to the end of the story. An agreement is made that Rebekah will be married to Isaac, who is hundreds of miles away, a person she's never even met. Yes, in fact, an arranged marriage, something that still goes on in the world. We come to verse 55 with the rest of the story. Rebekah's brother Laban and her mother said, "Let the young woman remain with us a while, at least 10 days, and after that she may go with you." But the steward said to them, "Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master." And they said, "Let us call the young woman and ask her." And they called Rebekah. And they said to her, "Will you go with this man?" By the way, this was almost never done in this culture, giving her the choice. "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's steward and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and her young woman arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the steward took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac, meanwhile, back at the ranch, Isaac had returned from Beer Lahai Roy and was dwelling in the Negev desert. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. This is a beautiful, tender story. And he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the steward, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" The steward said, "That is my master." So she took her veil and she covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. And then Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful story. We pray that you would help us to hear all that you are seeking to show us in the world through this amazing story of love and romance and faith and journeying. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, this is the original Bachelor Genesis reality TV version. Isaac is an adult. He's in his 40s. He's not even married yet. So Abraham plays matchmaker by sending his steward back to his home area in modern-day Turkey, right over the border with Iraq, to find a suitable wife for his son. The servant, who goes unnamed throughout the entire story, no name is ever given, is in a really tough spot. He has to travel halfway across the Middle East, secure a wife for his master's son and heir, a trip of at least a month or so one way, show up, find somebody, hope he picks the right one, then get her safely back to Israel, all the while not knowing for sure if it's going to work out at all. That's a pretty tough spot to be in. But it does work out. He shows up in the city of Nahor in the land of Haran, and he prays, "Oh God, help!" It's basically his prayer. But the prayer is also so specific. Have her offer me water, and then have her, without me asking for it, offer to water my camels. That'll be the sign that she's the one. Out comes Rebekah. She's beautiful. And the beauty, as we suddenly see, is way more than skin deep. She's welcoming and hospitable and thoughtful. She pours him a drink of refreshing water and then offers to water the camels as well. 10 camels is a lot of water. Good grief. I do want to point out, I wish God would answer all of my prayers this fast. And then things move on at a very rapid pace from there. By the next day, Laban, Rebekah's older brother, and her father and her mother do the Middle Eastern thing of making sure everything is on the up and up, and in terms, there are terms for the marriage for Rebekah to this relative that they may not even have heard of before, named Isaac. Then they ask that she be allowed a week or 10 days or two to say goodbye. But the steward insists that they take off right away, and they do a very un-Middle Eastern thing and ask her if she's willing to go with this man. And she answers, yes, I'm willing. And she's gone. Rebekah said yes. Like Abraham and Sarah before her, she leaves all that she's ever known. She leaves her own people. She leaves her homeland, and she goes to a land she's never seen before to be married to a man she hasn't met. Rebekah is in the Bible and a remarkable woman. And the final scene in this story is so Hollywood. I love it. It's evening, filled with golden light spilling across the landscape. Isaac is out in the fields, meditating, perhaps praying. He looks up and he sees camels in the distance. Rebekah looks up and sees Isaac. She veils herself out of dignity and respect. They fall in love. They marry. The Bachelor. This is better than reality TV, and it's much more real. And it's much more real in the following ways. This story is real. It's reality about the true nature of faith. All too often, I think we speak so blithely about faith as though faith is just simple and easy. But faith which is a gift from God in Christ that gets lived out day after day and week after week in our lives, is more real than that. As I've mentioned before and will say often because it's true, real faith, reality faith, has doubts, struggles, fears, failures, twists and turns, and takes a long time to grow. Just look back at all of the faith challenges that Abraham and Sarah have been through that we've heard about here. How they had a hard time waiting, took matters into their own hands, and how Abraham lied all those times. Matt covered all these things a few weeks ago. In this story, you have Isaac, whom you would think would be the one who would offer to go back to his father's homeland to find a wife. But no, Abraham takes care of it through the family business manager. What's going on with this? I don't know for sure. But here's what I wonder. Could it be that Isaac, ever since that trip to Mount Moriah when he was 12 or 13, struggles to trust? Could it be that he's got a little bit of faith trauma? After all, the last time he went on a trip at his father's behest, he almost wound up as a burnt offering. Did Abraham understand that his son maybe had a hard time trusting? You know, some people really do have a hard time trusting God or other people. They've had a bad church experience, or they've had their trust just wiped out by somebody in their life. They've had disappointments with God that are hard to get past, and they can kind of get stuck. They believe, but it's a struggle, and they don't know how to talk about it or what to do about it. I think this story helps us understand the reality sometimes that underneath the surface, faith is just sometimes really a challenge. And God understands, God knows, and God supports us in growing in that faith, even in the midst of our weaknesses. And then there's another reality in this passage that I think is beautiful and wonderful, and it helps with the struggles of faith. It's called what I call the reality of transitive faith. I don't mean to be overly fancy, but this is life-giving and this is hope-filling with reality related to faith. Isaac becomes the beneficiary of someone else's faith, the stewards, the business managers. Did you know that faith, that trust in God, can actually be shared with another person, and that another person can actually benefit from your faith? We can share the faith we have with others, not just the content of the faith, but the faith itself, the trust that we do have. God gives us the power and the ability to take that and offer it to someone else when they are and when things aren't working properly in their lives. And God will take that faith and actually transfer part of it over to their life. And we are given both the freedom and the responsibility to exercise faith on behalf of others. This is reality. The steward is able to trust God when maybe Isaac is having a hard time with that. And I love the steward's prayer. It's the kind of prayer Jesus encouraged us to make often. Simple, direct, specific, and bold. Dale Bruner calls this aerobic prayer. It is brief, frequent, and intense. He says, Lord, guide me to the right people. Have a maiden offer me water and my camels. That'll be the sign. And I love this part of the story. Before he's finished with the prayer, it gets answered. Rebecca shows up and does exactly what he asked for. The prayer is answered in full and immediately and overwhelmingly. And just a quick little sidebar on this, if you don't mind. Sometimes when we're going before God for something we want and need in our lives or in the life of someone that we know and love, or for the world, we have to wait and wait and wait on God. And in those times, Jesus says, keep on praying, keep on knocking, keep on seeking until you get a yes or a no. And by the way, never forget that no is also an answer sometimes. But there are also times when God answers our prayers almost before we ask. And with a yes. Learn how to trust that as well. God is free. God does not owe us anything. God knows our need before we ask, according to Jesus. So Jesus said, ask away. Sometimes you don't have to wait. Trust in the Lord in all of your ways, Psalms says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But here's the way that verse actually works. When you trust in the Lord in all your ways, he changes what you desire. Jesus changes what you desire, and then he fulfills it. Sometimes over a long wait, and sometimes before you even know how to voice the prayer. So, back to the transitive powers of faith and properties of faith. Wow, Isaac's need is met by the faith of an unnamed, faith-filled household business manager. So let me just ask, who in your life needs you to exercise faith for them today? Because they just can't muster it right now. And if you need faith this morning, we'll share ours with you this morning. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. Sharing in the life of Christ, the faith of Christ, the strength of Christ, the love of Christ, in an ongoing, real fashion, day after day. God honors this kind of faith transfer. And it's why it's so important to be gathered together as God's people. But then there's another reality going on here. It's the reality of faith as God, the God who plays three-dimensional chess. Paul Young on the men's retreat put it this way. We spend our life playing checkers, but all the while, God is playing three-dimensional chess. This servant just thought he was getting a wife for Isaac. But here's what God is doing in this story. God is moving God's work of salvation for the whole world forward. God's desire to save an entire lost universe, not just the world. That's what's happening in this story. It's not just a love story. It's a story that moves forward God's redemption for all the peoples of the earth through what happens to Isaac and Rebekah in bringing forth two sons, Jacob and Esau, and then the line of God's redemption moving forward through Jacob later. We'll hear more about his story in the next few weeks, but that's what God is doing. But the steward was just trying to find a wife for the son of his master. There's so much that is going on in this tender love story. The world actually hangs in the balance. While the servant was playing checkers, God was working at multidimensional levels to bring about salvation so that we would be here this morning. There's a direct connection, not even an indirect one. And it is always thus. Right now, what's going on in your life and mine counts forever. We can't see all that God is up to. Most of the time I say, thank God, I can't. But God is working through all the relationships that we have and through all faith to bring about God's marvelous plan of grace for the whole world. Which brings me to one other aspect of the reality of faith, this reality story. Everything in this story happens because people are on the move rather than sitting around waiting. The steward gets up, travels across dangerous territory to a place he's never been, gets there, prays, takes more action, turns around, gets Rebecca safely to her new home. His faith is in motion. Rebecca's the same. With real faith, she says, let's go. She isn't forced into it. She chooses. But she gets up, she packs her things, and she's in motion. Her faith is in motion. When Isaac sees the camels in the distance, he starts walking toward them. And he beholds his future wife. Reality faith, even with all of its blunders, doubts, failures, weaknesses, is nonetheless in motion. Even the smallest step of faith can be a part of changing the world. So move. Take a step, even if it's faltering and fearful. Faith is like a car. You've heard this before. It's easier to steer a car when it's moving than when it's parked. And so it is with faith. God knows how to guide. One day, Jesus was gone. He'd been up on a mountain all night long. At the base of the mountain, people were wondering when he'd be back or if he'd ever be back. A father was there, desperate and tired, worried and completely worn out. He'd tried everything to help his son, who had a strange affliction that no one understood and that no one could heal. So as a last-ditch effort, he went to where he thought Jesus was. And when he got there, Jesus wasn't there. So he tried the next best thing, Jesus' followers. And he asked them to help his son while Jesus was gone. His son was always falling down and throwing himself into fires and other danger. But even the disciples couldn't help. And then Jesus came off the Mount of Transfiguration. And there the crowd was. The father was distraught and frustrated. The disciples were powerless and embarrassed. They'd done everything they knew to do. But the boy was still in total need, the father hopeless and helpless. And Jesus asked what was going on. And the father spoke these words. If you are able, please, please help my son. And Jesus responded, what do you mean if? All things are possible for the one who believes. And then the Father spoke for all of us about reality faith. He spoke for and to all of us down the ages in his response to Jesus. He said, I do believe. Please help my unbelief. And Jesus did. How real, how honest, how tender. And by the way, that faltering, wispy faith that the Father had was more than enough for Jesus. He healed the boy. Folks, all along in this study of Genesis, we've been exploring the centrality of the human response to God, which is a response of faith that leads to love, that changes who we are and then leads to a life of obedience. Faith that is a gift from God and that God enables us to use through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And even then, God is gracious in helping us when we have faith struggles. I don't know where you are in your walk today and following Jesus. Wherever it is, I know that the Lord is walking with you to make your faith reality faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's pray. O Lord Jesus, we bow before you in the greatness of your wisdom, in the depth of your understanding, in the power of your resurrection presence with us through the Spirit this morning. And so we pray that you would take our faith, whether it is strong or weak, and transform it by the faith of Jesus into what you desire to work through for the world around us and for us. O Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.